Three men followed a star, but in God's plan, they stood in the place of nations. Today's reflection shows how their mission sheds light on our own role as faithful Catholics today. Stay tuned, because this might change the way you understand the Feast of the Epiphany forever.
Ave mundis pes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's reflection may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. Tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. And as I usually do when approaching a great solemnity, I want to share an enlightening reflection by Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira. Truly one of the most profound commentaries on the three Magi I have ever come across. Listen to this. There is not a single commentator on the adoration of the Magi who does not say that it was fitting for the Magi to come and adore our Lord in order to represent the various peoples of the Gentiles who, from the very beginning, approached his cradle, and that it was also fitting that they were Magi, to represent all ancient wisdom paying homage to our Lord. We know that the word Magi here means men of extraordinary wisdom, of exceptional knowledge, coming from all directions to adore our Lord. Whether these Magi were kings is often questioned. In my view, this doubt has a certain egalitarian flavor. For Christendom, supported by a venerable tradition, has in every age believed that they were kings. And this tradition is so continuous and has a certain harmony with passages of Scripture that speak of kings coming from afar to adore the Messiah, that this tradition deserves belief in itself. I see no reason why they would not have been kings. In any case, here we have men coming from various races representing the whole ancient world and all ancient wisdom in their homage to our Lord, expressed in the well-known gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. You can see that everything here is symbolic. They were representing these peoples because our Lord willed them to represent them, and they went to Bethlehem because our Lord called them as representatives. This representation had a purpose within the plans of Providence. They were only three, but in the plans of Providence, these three represented something much greater. We find something similar at the foot of the cross. There, Our Lady, Saint John, and the Holy Women represented all that is good and faithful in humanity. They were a delegation. They represented because they were faithful, and anyone who belongs to a certain category in a very solemn moment naturally represents his counterparts by a kind of selection. And this leads us to a vital question for our own time. Whom do we represent? Whom do we represent as faithful Catholics today? The professor answers, "We represent all the faithful. We represent the fidelity of all who were faithful in the past, all who died in the peace of the Lord and preceded us. If the saints of the past could have foreseen that in such a crisis, there would be faithful who would uphold complete fidelity to the Catholic Church, they would have blessed us from afar. They would have felt themselves our kin. From afar, they would have felt a kind of consolation. At least these are doing what I would have wished to do if I had been alive in that time. We therefore represent all of them. We represent all the faithful souls scattered in this world. We represent the souls who will come after us." These interconnections in history arising from this doctrine of representation are sometimes truly striking. You know that when Saint Regimus and his assistants taught Clovis and his Franks about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, they cried out, lifted their spears and said, "Why were we not there at the time of the Passion to defend our Lord?" But in a mystical sense, they were there. For at his Passion, our Lord foresaw what they desired. He foresaw that they would say this, and they consoled him at that moment. There is, therefore, a kind of reversibility across time in these various acts, all merging into a single grand scene. In that single grand scene, the few faithful of this age represent all the fidelity of the past, the present, and the future. And we feel the need for this representation on our part, in light of the representation of the Magi before the child Jesus. This doctrine of representation should encourage us. Let us ask the Magi to pray for us, since they are certainly in heaven with God, so that we may have one of the many forms of courage required of us, the courage to be alone, as they were, alone in a pagan world, yet waiting for the star, waiting for the hour of God, ready to fulfill his will whenever it manifested itself, and to fulfill it with all fidelity and promptness when the moment came. And with that, we conclude today's reflection, wishing you all a most blessed feast of the Epiphany tomorrow. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share to help spread Padre Pio's message. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss our latest uploads. Want to deepen your connection with Padre Pio? Consider becoming a protected child of Padre Pio, a special way to grow spiritually and be part of our prayerful community. You'll find a link to the join page in the description below. Check out the recommended videos on the end screen or the links in the description for more inspiring content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for Today playlist. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.